This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I have Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. If you missed it, we interviewed New Texans President Mike Tolman at 8 o'clock. You can hear that on the Odyssey app, on the podcast, the rewind feature. Always good for that type of stuff. You can text the show, 713-572-4610. That's the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. So, Seth, free agency, this time next week, free agency is going to be kicking, man. We'll be in day two of the illegal tampering and legal tampering and agree to deal phase.
Illegal tampering is the combine, according to Nick Caserio.
Or anything happening right now.
Nick threw some mild shade, I think, at people that get agree to deals at the combine.
Yeah.
Because I think the Texans try to abide by. I think people always have this notion that it's just freewheeling in the Wild West and everything. A lot of teams try to be pretty careful about the tampering stuff because the penalty is huge. You get fined a first-round pick at times, like the Dolphins did a few years ago for tampering with Tom Brady. So I think the Texans are probably one of the teams that try to abide by that. And but all that to say that roundabout next, not this coming Monday, but the Monday after this coming Monday, we'll start to get a lot of reports of deals that have been agreed to.
Yeah, you and I went through the exercise at 7 o'clock of kind of going through the top names at each of the positions. And look, it's going to be fun because it's a land rush. Like, it's not as though because the names aren't as big, teams aren't going to be as crazy as they normally will. They've got cap space. They've got desperation, some of them, and they're going to go spend. I don't know if the Texans, I can almost assure you the Texans won't be one of those teams out in front of everybody else running to plant flags in players like it's a land rush. But it's still going to be really fun. But in going through the names, man, it doesn't stack up to last year where we had all that star power at running back.
Right.
We had all that star power at edge rusher, which the Texans, the Texans were both on the importing and exporting side with John Gernard going to Minnesota and with Danielle Hunter coming here. And there were other big, Christian Wilkins was a huge name that went. Sam Darnold might be the domino that some of these teams are waiting to fall, you know?
As far as big names and what have you, I do think, too, if I look at all the different position groups, the position group of need for the Texans that I think it makes a lot of sense that the Texans maybe make a day two signing, not one of the huge deals necessarily, but is it offensive guard? I think there are a lot of viable starting offensive guards out there that would be upgrades for the Texans. And if I had to handicap it right now in terms of, okay, who do the Texans address in free agency? And then because of that, who do they go after in the draft? It feels most likely to me right now that they go after a guard in free agency, maybe a veteran center of some sort, and then they can focus on wide receiver in the draft and possibly interior defensive line in the draft.
If you had to ask me, like, You can only fill these positions, nameless and faceless. You can only fill these positions, these needs, through either the draft or free agency. I would say interior offensive line free agency. I would say wide receiver draft. I would say running back draft. I think running back is a need for this team right now. Not at the starter level. Joe Mixon's the starter. But I think we can't be, Seth, where Dari Ogunbowale, where Joe, like Joe Mixon misstepping, like we're one misstep away from Dari Ogunbowale getting 15 touches in a game.
Well,
it can't be.
And that's where, again, though, I wonder exactly how they feel about Dameon Pierce with a different offensive coordinator. I mean, Pep Hamilton was awesome for Dameon Pierce. Nick Caserio wasn't so hot for Dameon. If that is indeed the reason or the cause that Dameon Pierce fell off so dramatically, I think Caserio genuinely sees more upside in Dameon Pierce. And I wonder if, you know, that might have been one of the things that led to the departure of Bobby Slowick, partly, amongst other things. But maybe that was one of the little check boxes. Like, wait a second. We've seen the very good side of Dameon Pierce a couple times this year. Mm-hmm. Why have we not been able to get that out of him more consistently? Why are you making it this hard to use what we think is a good asset?
The quarterback storylines are interesting. Where will Sam Darnold land? I think he's the big quarterback domino to fall. We're getting text message, Jim Adler, Texas Hammer text line. Where does Aaron Rodgers go, and does he have anything left? I think that's domino number two is Aaron Rodgers, and the Giants are the big rumor, but I don't know, man. I will see.
Look, Aaron Rodgers is, there's just so many outliers there with Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be 41 years old. He's still coming off of an Achilles tendon surgery, which could be a positive or a minus, because this will be a year and a half removed, or two years removed, really, yeah, from his previous Achilles tendon injury. Mm-hmm. And that even though he's 41 years old, you might see a more athletic and spry version of Aaron Rodgers. The biggest question by far for Aaron Rodgers is going to be that teams can look and see what happened in New York, where Rodgers, A, seemingly hand-selected a bad offensive coordinator, aging or mediocre veteran wide receivers to bring onto the team. It looked like he was just trying to keep the band together as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But then that also, Aaron Rodgers himself, like Aaron Rodgers, the offensive coordinator, he prefers kind of an antiquated style of football. One of the reasons Aaron Rodgers likes old wide receivers is he likes to just be able to line them up where they are. We don't need a whole lot of pre-snap motion, and I've got a sixth sense with Randall Cobb, and I'm just going to feed him the ball. There's not a lot of teams that are going to look at that and think, okay, well, we need him to change his stripes. This has got to be a little bit more of a humble Aaron Rodgers, or a guy that doesn't want to take control of the situation because he doesn't know what he's doing as a GM.
Yep.
And so that's something that comes with meetings and conversations. I'm really curious to see how all that goes.
There are, by my count, Seth, there are six teams that are part of this musical chairs at quarterback with starting quarterbacks right now. There's some teams with bad starting quarterbacks or young starting quarterbacks that aren't moving on from them. So I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers isn't better than some of those guys. But to me, the top three teams in the draft are all in the quarterback market. Titans, Browns, Giants are all in the market for starting quarterbacks. And then the Raiders, the Jets, and the Steelers. I think you could, for Aaron Rodgers, obviously cross off the Jets. I think you can cross off the Steelers because it sounds like they're going to pick between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Like it's the last episode of The Bachelor, and they're going to hand one of them a rose and say, you're the starting quarterback for our team. Which leaves the Titans, Browns, Giants, and Raiders for Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, this is where I think I differ in the philosophy a lot of these teams, mm-hmm. and I don't understand exactly how we've gotten to this point. Because if you think about this, Sean, quarterbacks get taken in the first round, and the prevailing thought these days is, well, you drafted him high in the first round because, and he's got to start, because you don't draft him high in the first round unless he's ready to start. And then what happens to the vast majority of quarterbacks taken in the first round? They fail.
Yeah.
They fail.
Yeah.
So somehow, though, the standard wisdom in the operating procedure is, we got to do it this way. We got to do it this way. Okay, but they keep failing when we do it this way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you got to do it this way. No, the fact of the matter is, back in the day, yes, you drafted a quarterback in the top five because they were genuinely great prospects, and usually they had demonstrated that they were capable of starting day one.
Yep.
That's not the way it operates anymore. There's a lot of guys getting drafted in the first half of the first round that in previous generations would have been second or third round draft picks. If the Titans, this would actually make me a little bit nervous, if the Titans drafted Cam, but then also said, but Aaron Rodgers is the starter this year. Mm. And that's the way we're going to operate. Mm-hmm. We're going to give him a year just like Pat Mahomes got to learn and operate and learn how to be an NFL quarterback. Then the Titans could be a lot scarier all of a sudden. Then, and I just realized that Aaron Rodgers' stock in my own brain just went up. by my sphincter meter. I always try to check myself for my blind spots that way. Like, wait a second. What are you going to feel if you're going against
this
guy?
How's my sphincter doing? Yes.
Last time I saw the Texans go against Aaron Rodgers, yeah. he looked like an all-pro in the second half.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
So he tore up a really good Texans defense.
Well, that would make those Titans games super interesting, you know? If it's Aaron Rodgers or that scenario, draft a quarterback with the number one pick, but bring in Aaron Rodgers.
What the Colts should have done with Anthony Richardson.
Yes, absolutely.
They named him a starter freakishly early, and it felt like it was because that's what the owner wanted.
Yeah.
Where I don't think anybody in the building really thought he was ready to be an NFL quarterback, and he demonstrated it for them very clearly multiple times last year.
Silly, no doubt. All right, so a little quarterback talk, a little free agency talk. Man, I can't wait for it to get here next week. Hey, Journey is coming to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. Be listening in the 9 o'clock hour, not now. Don't start calling now. Ben will have your head if you start calling right now, all right? We'll do it in the 9 o'clock hour. Journey tickets, Friday, March the 14th. It's a Rodeo Ticket Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. All right, no petty cast at 8 o'clock this morning because we had Mike Thoman in studio. But we will have a petty cast. Sean and Seth cannot go. I'm going third person. Sean and Seth cannot go a full Tuesday without getting ultra petty.
We got to get it out of our system.
Got to get it out of our system.
We're insufferable in normal society if we don't.
That's right. So we'll do the petty cast. We got some good petties. And send yours in to the Jim Adler to the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. We'll do the petty cast coming up next.